Good morning. It is Tuesday and time for book picks on our list from an independent bookseller. We go to one each week on this program, and our independent bookseller of the week this week comes from Northshire Bookstore, both in Saratoga Springs, New York, and Manchester Center, Vermont. Nadia Tiktinsky joins us, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Nadia. Your first time on the program, I believe.
It is. Thank you for having me.
It is very nice to have you here. From my understanding, you are normally based in the Manchester store. Is that correct?
I am, yeah. I'm a children's bookseller there, so I'm going to be talking all kids' books today.
We like that. We have not had a check-in on kids' books in a while, so we look forward to your list. Welcome to the program. It's very nice to have you as a part of our team of fantastic booksellers. Where would you like to begin?
So I'm talking today all about new releases from the past few months. These are all middle grade books, so appropriate for kind of anyone in elementary or middle school. The first one I'm going to start with is Peacemaker by Joseph Bruchak. This one came out early January. It's historical fiction, but told in a way that almost feels folkloric, set in what's now America, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, when the five Iroquois tribes were caught in this kind of generations-long war with each other. And it's the story of how that war ended, which was a man called the Peacemaker received this spiritual visitation telling him that peace is possible and how to create it. And he traveled around to all of the tribes spreading this story. And it's really incredible because it's this true historical example of how powerful story is and how it does have the power to change history. Telling the story of how the League of Iroquois Nations came to be. And what I love about Joseph Bruchak is he's got this really kind of straightforward, bare bones writing style. So it feels like almost like a historic document when you're reading. It's great for kids who like military history, are interested in historical fiction. Just an incredible book.
Joe is a dear friend of this program. We love his work, and we thank him so much for all that he has done. And it's a thrill to know that he is putting out such wonderful work into the world. The name of the book is Peacemaker by Joseph Bruchak. Next up.
Next is a debut. It's called 365 Days to Alaska by Kathy Carr. And I picked this one because one of the biggest trends in middle grade literature right now is wilderness adventure books, which I am a total sucker for.
Yep.
And this is like the Uno reverse card of wilderness adventure books. It totally flips the script. The book starts in the wilderness with Rigel, who's grown up in the Alaskan bush her whole life, in a one-room cabin with her family, no Wi-Fi, no electricity, no heating. No running water. She's never been to school. She's never been in a car. She grows / hunts her own food, and that's her normal. But when her parents get divorced, she, her mom, and siblings move to suburban Connecticut to live with her grandma. And all of a sudden, Rigel is like, she's in this totally different world. She's never been on an escalator. She's never walked down the street while cars are driving past her. She's never used a phone. And everything that feels normal to us feels very frightening and dangerous and unknown to her. And it's one of those books that just makes you totally reexamine your own definition of normal and of civilization. Yeah. And what I love about it is it puts social survival on the level of like intensity and immediacy that's usually reserved for physical survival. So it's really unique, just incredibly well written. That's all.
365 Days to Alaska. Kathy Carr is the author. Okay, next up.
Next up is The Year I Flew Away by Marie Arnold. This one's also a debut. Came out in February. We're going in order here from oldest to newest, so made it into February. And this book is magical realism. It's from the perspective of 10-year-old Gabrielle, who's grown up in Haiti, and her parents have saved up enough money to send her to Brooklyn to live with her aunt and uncle. They're planning to follow in a year or so. And Gabrielle has a really hard time when she gets to Brooklyn. She barely speaks English. She does not fit in at her new school, and all these kids are being kind of intensely cruel to her. All she wants to do is fit in. One night, she goes down into the hallway of her apartment building, and she meets a witch who gives her a mango cut into three slices and says, every time you eat a slice of this mango and make a wish, that wish will come true. And then she kind of, you know, she mumbles some stuff about payment, but Gabrielle doesn't really listen to that. She's very excited. She starts eating these mango slices and making wishes. What she has not paid attention to is that every time she makes a wish to fit in, the witch is going to steal a bit of her essence.
No.
So like, her first wish is that she wants to speak perfect English. And she wakes up the next day, that's true. She doesn't even have an accent anymore. She knows everything. But she's lost the ability to speak or understand Haitian Creole. So she can't talk to her family anymore. And we eventually find out in the book that this witch has this nefarious plan to steal the essence of like every group of people in Brooklyn, and the last one she needs is a Haitian Creole identity. Once she has them all, she can kind of wipe everybody clean and turn all of Brooklyn gray and make everybody the same. So it's this really cool commentary on like the immigrant experience and valuing individuality, but it's also just so much fun, and it's very like slapstick hilarious. Gabrielle's sidekick through her adventures is a sewer rat named Rocky, who does not want to be a sewer rat because nobody likes sewer rats. He's desperate to become a bunny, like he spends a lot of his time practicing hopping and wearing bunny ears. It's just, it's so much fun. I love this book.
Rocky the sewer rat who wants to be a bunny. You had me. That's it. That's good. So the name of the book is what? The Year?
The Year I Flew Away.
The Year by Marie Arnold, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yeah.
The Year I Flew Away by Marie Arnold. Okay, next up.
Next up is The Deepest Breath by Meg Grehan. She's actually an Irish author. So this was published in Ireland a couple years ago, but has just come out in America this February. It's a novel in verse, which is the other major trend in middle grade right now. A lot of wilderness adventure, a lot of novels in verse, which I am very much here for. And this book, I cried like 90% of the time reading it, which for me, that's a compliment. I love a very emotional book. So if you're a reader who likes that, this is for you. This is the story of Stevie. She's 11 years old. She's a really anxious kid, and she really likes to know things. So like her greatest fear is deep ocean creatures. She's reading a book on them because maybe if she knows everything about them, she won't feel so scared. But she's also experiencing for the first time what she calls like this like fizzy feeling about this girl, Chloe, in her class. It's like a first crush. And she doesn't really understand what this feeling is or why she's feeling it. And in a lot of normal ways, this is a, you know, coming out story, coming of age story. What I love about it is how young Stevie feels. I think in a lot of queer coming of age stories, there's a lot of romance. But crushes aren't necessarily a romantic thing, right? If you think about your first crush, maybe right. You were like 6 or 7. It's not that deep, right? And I love that Stevie is allowed to feel really young and there's no like sexual or romantic undertones here. And the other thing I love about it is the big emotional climax of this story is when Stevie does come out to her mom, who she's really close to, and her mom does the wrong thing. And Stevie struggles to come to terms with the fact that grown-ups don't know everything, which is what makes this book so universal. I mean, so much of being a kid is trying to pin down all the facts about the world and understand what the rules are and what's going on. And so much of being a grown-up is pretending that you know what you're doing, even when you have absolutely no idea. And I love that this book gets at those sticky feelings that everybody feels at one point or another and gives them grace and lets characters make mistakes and separate and come back together. And it's incredible.
Sounds amazing. It is The Deepest Breath by Meg Grehan. Is that how that's pronounced? Grehan?
Grehan? Yeah, Grehan. I think so.
Yeah, like Meehan. It would be Grehan.
Yeah.
I think if I have my Irish correct, and God knows I should, Meg Grehan. Okay, next up.
Next up is another novel in verse, Starfish, by Lisa Phipps. This is yet another debut. And this is, I'm calling it a book for a brave reader. A reader who likes emotional complexity and isn't afraid to, like, get to the hard stuff. So the main character in this book is Ellie. And Ellie is fat, and she is dealing with a lot of tough stuff with bullies at school, with her siblings at home, and really most difficultly with her mom, who is kind of horrible to her throughout the whole book. And it's the story of Ellie kind of looking at herself through herself for the first time, learning how to do that and not just viewing herself through other people's opinions and other people's eyes. So it's a really powerful narrative. It's really well written. It's definitely a tough read. Again, I would recommend this for, you know, maybe somebody 10 and up a bit more, just because it does get quite cruel, but it's just an incredibly compelling narrative that I really enjoyed.
All right, Starfish by Lisa Phipps. Next.
Next is Where We Used to Roam by Jen Bishop. This came out March 23rd. This is the story of Emma, who is dealing with some family stuff. She's always been really close to her older brother, Austin, who's a football star. At the beginning of the book, he gets injured. He has to have surgery, and he can't play for the rest of the year. And she kind of watches his entire personality shift. He becomes super insular. He starts acting strangely. And what her family eventually finds out is that he's developed an opioid addiction following his surgery. Once this is uncovered, he is sent to rehab, and Emma is shipped to, like, family friends who she doesn't really know in Wyoming because her parents are kind of, you know, panicking and they aren't dealing well with their kids. She's suddenly alone in what feels like the middle of nowhere to her with all new people. She's not sure what state her family is in and what she'll be returning to. I know that parents and grandparents listening in right now are probably hearing the words opioid addiction and thinking like, nope, I'm not going to get that book for my kid. I will say the thing I say to a lot of parents who come in the store who will shy away from books with tough subjects, which is that kids live in the same world that adults live in, and they see what's going on, and they know more than you think. And it is much scarier to a kid always to have something kept secret and kept under wraps. Whether or not the kid in your life is lucky enough to not know somebody with an opioid addiction, that is something they're going to see on TV. That's something they're going to know somebody who knows somebody who's affected by. And that's why it's really important to have books like this that show those situations with grace and help kids understand the world that they're already aware of and take it in like a healthier, safer way.
That's such a great point. Well done. So here's the horrible part of doing the segment. We only have a minute left, so I know you have a few books. So I will ask you to pick one of your darlings. The others don't necessarily have to be killed, but they have to be at least put on the shelf for a moment. Yes.
Okay. I will be very quick. My last one is Bloom by Nicole Skinner. This is another overseas one, came out a couple years ago in the UK and just came out April 16th in America. And it's perfect for Roald Dahl fans. It's very funny, very kind of out there stuff. There's that great thing that British magical realism does where even the real life aspects of the book feel kind of fantastic and absurd. This girl finds seeds in her backyard, sprinkles them on her and her friend's head. They spread through town, and everybody is now sprouting like flowers and trees out of their head. And the authorities in their dreary, dull town are trying to convince everybody to pour cement on themselves to tamp it down. So it's this really funny, fantastic nature conservatory magic story, if that makes any sense. I hope that was
no, it was good. Very good. It's called Bloom by Nicola Skinner. And by the way, you're great at this. You're very, very good. You're great at any point, but for a first timer, my goodness. We're going to start signing you up to give clinics. Nadia Tatinsky is of Northshire Books in Saratoga and Manchester. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program. We look forward to having you back, and I thank you very much for your time and the list. You can find out more at Northshire.com or find the list on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Nadia, thank you very much. You're great.
Thanks so much.
Be well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.